This is NPR Illinois. I'm Rachel Otwell.
Cahokia is kind of a well-kept secret in the United States, but it's literally the first city in what would become the United States. It's occupied between about 1000 AD and about 1400 AD, probably had a population of 20 to 30,000 people at that time. It's located just across the river from current-day St. Louis, and part of it is a state park and also a World Heritage Site.
And over the years, how much research has been done at Cahokia, you know, kind of an overview?
Cahokia has been of interest probably since the 1960s. I think a lot of people are intimidated by the virtual size of the site. I mean, it covers 5.5 square miles. And archaeologists have been doing limited work, but really the scope leaves 99% of the site is really unknown at this point.
And so there was a recent study done. Is that correct?
Right.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, for a number of years, my colleagues and I have been interested in the role of corn as it comes into the diet of Native American Indians. And essentially, you know, we used to think it came in about 200 AD. More recently, we've been thinking that it's maybe about 1000 AD. And one of the ways you can look at that is by looking at the bones of the individuals. And Cahokia Mounds has a fairly large skeletal population that was collected in the 60s and the 70s, and we began to reanalyze that collection. So the interesting part was there we got totally sidetracked. There's a main burial at the site of what was always described as two men laying on a shell blanket in the shape of a hawk. As part of our diet study, we started re-looking at that material, and we realized that pretty much every piece of identification was wrong. It wasn't two men. It was a man and a woman. There weren't two people. There were actually four people. And it really wasn't a shell bead or blanket. It was actually shell beads, period. It was not a blanket. So that kind of got us rethinking about the whole Mound 72 story. And the reason Mound 72 is so important is it's been used to interpret the kind of political structure that was at Cahokia. And given the hawk blanket, as it was interpreted, the presence of men, there was a real thought that, okay, this is kind of a warrior society. It's dominated by warfare and by men, and this is symbolic of it all. Well, when you change the players and suddenly it's really there are four people on that blanket, or I shouldn't say that, should I? It's the non-blanket, and that there are a pair of men and a pair of women involved in here, and that changes the dynamic from this warrior kind of status to something that looks like it's much more involved in kind of perhaps symbolizing a noble elite class at Cahokia. And it actually shifts our idea of the symbolism involved at Cahokia to something more involved with fertility symbolism and underworld symbolism, all the kind of things that you find usually in early agricultural societies. They have to do with harvest ceremonialism. So it's really kind of got us rethinking what Cahokia was all about.
And so back in 67,
right,
as you mentioned, there were 270 bodies found,
right,
in a mound. And these mass graves, tell us a little bit more about what the mass graves look like. And were these dignitaries, you know, or people who,
right,
had some higher caste or something, or who were in the,
right,
mass graves?
In Mound 72, there are several long rectangular pits that are filled with the bodies of what are primarily young women, probably in the age of 15 to 25. They clearly all died simultaneously. It's not an accumulated burial. It's a single event. And these women were laid very carefully in rows and stacked up essentially like cordwood in these pits. You look at something like that and you go, this is not a situation of natural death in the population. This is the kind of signature you get when people are probably being ritually sacrificed as part of some ceremony. In the past, those pits were interpreted as things like perhaps these are women who are captured from other places. They're tribute. They're not part of the local population. One of the other things we've been looking at is strontium. Strontium is very interesting because it really is tied to the place where you were born and raised. It comes through, it's from the bedrock, and it comes through the food chain and your body takes it in. And that strontium is retained in your teeth. And so different bedrock places around the U.S. have different signatures. So we looked at the strontium of these young women in these various pits, and we found out, in fact, actually they're local people. They are not from somewhere else. They are part of the local population, which again changes somewhat the dynamic of, you know, you're sacrificing your own people as part of this process. And that beaded burial I was discussing, that's associated with those. It's in a different location in the mound, and that was always thought to be, you know, this is the high chief. All of these other square, rectangular, sacrificial pits are somehow associated with his tribute or as a symbol of their eliteness.
I'm Rachel Otwell with Illinois Edition, speaking with Thomas Emerson. He directs the Illinois State Archaeological Survey. And we're talking about new developments and findings at Cahokia Mounds. Well, for something as old as Cahokia Mounds is, the way you're talking about this, it sounds like there's still a lot to be, just explained, right? We don't have a good understanding quite yet.
No, and one of the really things that's happened recently is, as I said, Cahokia really covers about 5.5 square miles, and lots of it's under urban development. And recently we did work in East St. Louis, which is another big mound center that's probably part of Cahokia. And there, essentially under about 10 feet of rubble, we ultimately excavated about 1,300 houses in what was 4% of this site. It gives you some kind of the scale. So there are thousands of houses in this one site. And now with the new bridge coming, this area is in more danger than ever of development. So it really is, unfortunately, kind of a race against time to try and recover as much information or to make some kind of effort to preserve these sites.
And there was a new historical designation given to the site recently. Is that correct? Could that be a help?
Actually, they're trying to. Basically, there has been a push recently to bring it into the national park system, but that actually has not gone through yet. And it's really, really kind of a travesty that probably the most important site in North American Native history is a state park. It has national significance, but in fact, it's not brought into the national park system, and a site so big really can only be adequately probably interpreted and preserved ultimately by the federal government.
Ideally, looking ahead, what will become of Cahokia in terms of future research being done there?
It is limited essentially to money coming through something like NSF or some other granting agency, which of course those kinds of grants are really drying up more and more. Most of the work that we've been doing, the research, is actually being done and funded by the Department of Transportation, because it has to do with when they build new roads, they do the archaeology before they do the roads. And so the research being generated at Cahokia right now is all in that process, really, of destruction. So as resources are being impacted and destroyed, at least they are being studied, and that's the focus of our work. That's primarily what we do.